disciplina. Yang terlalu biasa. So this is tape number two, side three of Joe Hogue's interview. He has just been recounting some of his war experiences in World War II in London. Okay, Joe, you want to kind of go over what you were just saying that might not have taken on the other tape. You had just escaped being killed by a bomb in an air raid, and so then you were talking about a man.
Well, just even before this bomb hit us, a man, while we were unloading, at a big story house, he passed me on the steps, so I had to go up and the roof set the electricity, the lights and everything was on. They didn't seem to be alright, but I had no right to set this man at anything. That night, first night we were alone, the bomb hit us. I'm sure he put up something up in the roof. Well, this isn't a policy. I don't have no proof for that, but I think if someone just put a light in off, that would be. You're lucky you didn't get killed. And my country, Champion country, called it, they insulted it, hit out of London. The next morning, we did, I'd be going to eat breakfast. Mostly dogs just recounted. And he poured some hot coffee in my cup, I told him. And it happened to be a hole in this bottom, and that hot coffee hit this pink plate. A shrapnel went through that thing, and he said, "Why the heck are you pouring this coffee on me?" He said, "I didn't shake it. I didn't want to tell him to look in that hole, that shrapnel went through that thing."
And the night before, in your when the bomb had gone off.
Well, I know if he'd have stayed in there, he'd have been dead.
So when you were in London under Eisenhower's headquarters, what was your job?
We were hauling supplies for the headquarters. Office supplies when you need food or just anything that needs to be needed.
From where to where?
Well, first from London to Southampton, the south part of town, where the ships took off to go with the plane. Some days, I had to read the documents on the truck just by myself. And they told me, "We're going to send you," God, how did he say it tonight? "Just by yourself." He said, "These spies won't interfere with the things you talk." I did. That was demonstrated.
Were you scared?
At times, yes. But anyway, our headquarters, we call it Dave's headquarters, and Montgomery, they were together at Southampton. It happened that eight drivers and stuff had to cross the channel with Montgomery's headquarters. And when we landed Omaha Beach, we were in the biggest convoy. We went about 5 miles. Now it's really something, and he stopped me. I said, "I'm at this British Convoy. I don't know where to go. Don't stop me." He said, "You broke into this British Convoy. You kept it there. Got about 100 trucks to survive it in the section." So I went back and looked at any of you boys over there. They took off. We don't know where to go. And we were still in the area where the fire machine was. We just passed there by the road. Maybe somebody come back. Somebody came back in about 30 minutes. And it took the test. But they never told us where we were going to go, where we were going to stop. We didn't know anything.
And where were you at this time?
Omaha Beach.
Okay, is this right after D-Day?
Yes. 2 days after.
So you partook in D-Day?
Yes.
In the big invasion?
Yes. Although the fighting was not, was in already. We followed up. And we moved gasoline. All the gasoline had to be moved in 5 gallon tanks. There were no pipelines and no barrels. We had about 400 5 gallon cans in a truck. And it was always said that Patton, he was stopped. But the reason he was stopped, he couldn't get the gas up on it. All the tanks and trucks and, the distance got longer, we couldn't get the gas up there.
You hear a say that those trucks would be blown up at all times?
Well, yes. We parked in an airport about 50 miles from the beach. And the next morning, we started leaving. Most of the trucks were out. This time, the mine detectors, you know, they were just detecting the mine. So mine was kind of there. We walked around there, we had our trucks, and that's just lucky nobody stepped on them, and I was just, didn't drive away. So above me, there's a slept in a pot, apple tree, and they told us not to eat apples. I looked at this apple that fell in my head. I ate it in the, 2 in the morning, I got in the dress, and I thought I'd die. I was afraid to be telepathic because we weren't so easy. Finally, I got a friend of mine, he went to the doctor. We had to drive about 3 miles to the door. We found his doctor. First thing he asked me to do nothing to get. He said, you have indigestion to do nothing.
Just ordinary indigestion. Yeah, it wasn't poison.
No, it wasn't poison. And I thought I was going to die.
Yeah. So, you were being punished. Oh, dear. I was just going to say, eating fresh fruit sometimes like that does give you.
Oh, I would say that to you. I would be.
Oh, he threw up.
But he gave me the medicine. I don't know if there was medicine. But it happened, I don't know, after we go away, we all stayed in the pavement. And I was told later on the truck got over the grass. The other command does leave the truck in the feet.
So after you moved in the town, where did y'all set up headquarters? I didn't do that.
Well, we set up headquarters.
In the north of France?
Along the coast. Across from English Channel. And every few days, the headquarters moved up. And the most time we spent was in France. And there we said, there we need to pay.
And how long were you in Paris?
About 2 weeks.
And then what did you do after that?
We moved towards Germany, the Rhine
River. Is that when you got down to the Alps or anything
else? Yeah.
Did you, were you hoping to do that, or was it just luck that you went to the Alps in that region?
Just luck that we moved there.
Did you ever meet any of the other boys from France there in the West?
No, I never did meet any from home.
I think Alan Eaton went to Alps also.
Yeah.
But he was with a different
family. And he was with the 36th race. I was too. Erwin Dudiger. And Erwin boys, the line we were together. But before we went across, I maneuvered to North Carolina. And it was hot, and we had to stay in the truck. They didn't need me out there to stay there. So they brought him out the truck on the team and asked the driver. He said, you better drive and stand out there in the forest and stand out there. We were thankful. We didn't want to leave out there, but we had to. But we not able to get across the family.
So you were with the 36th Division?
We started for 2 years.
For 2 years.
Then I got thankful to 135th Automatic Truck Company.
135th?
Automatic Truck Company.
Okay. And who were you under? What part of the Army?
After we were in France, they got organized with the 12th Army Group, Standard Bradley Headquarters.
Did you ever see Eisenhower or Bradley in the station?
Yes. A few times after Eisenhower got, he drove by. And we were walking the streets the way he drove by with his English woman died. But that's all I knew. Bradley was a good commander. Now, Patton, he was first probably peacekeeper. I got him with his quarters. I think he was third on, but he was on a little company. And he was you don't have enough time. He's been here quite a while, isn't he? Oh, also, the place where I'm at, but you have to be in touch with the really well time. So you can go now, but if you come back, have a time. Bradley said, go for the place. I don't care how you do it, but when you've done the job, do the job right. That's all I ask.
Wasn't Bradley considered the general of the soldiers in the
Navy? He was with the Third Army. He was rough with his feet. Now Bradley was...
Oh, Patton was rough.
Patton was rough, yes.
But Bradley...
He was... Everybody liked him, but you never heard a good word spoken about
Patton. Patton. Oh, even by the soldiers in World War II?
Right.
Oh, I see. They hated him too. Yeah.
But he was a good man. He got him.
So when did you get out of the Army? How did you get out of the Army?
We moved across the Rhine River to Wiesbaden. And as you said, Wiesbaden, another 6 months, 45. We just went back to post all the time. Actually, there wasn't much work anymore. A lot of sheep. So the ones that were married had children, we went home first.
Oh, that's how they took them.
Yes. For how long?
Was the area around where you were stationed right after the war, was that very in bad shape from the war?
A lot of these cities in Germany were really wiped out by the bomb, just rocked, piled up rocks. But Wiesbaden, they knew they were going to put the actual headquarters to and bomb Wiesbaden. And it was a kind of a historic where the rich people spent their things of hotels. Recreation area.
Wasn't there some sort of an agreement that Germans didn't bomb certain things of the Allied and the Allied in return? Like Nuremberg was never bombed either because it was a. Wasn't it? I think that was.
Probably wasn't. I didn't get that.
I just remember reading that some places were not bombed because they were considered so historical.
But in all our travels in Germany, you take buildings. Red paint makes blood hospital. So one time, a German, I had taken somewhere to pick up some steel or feeling it. I asked him why they had so many hospitals. He answered that. Those weren't hospitals. They were just places where they made ammunition or things like that.
And so they camouflaged them.
That's right. And the bombers, they could have to run close to down hospitals.
Uh-huh. Was Al facing in bad safety?
Not as bad as France was along the coast. Mm-hmm. Some of the towns were bombed pretty bad. Mm-hmm.
They were all came on by ship, I guess.
Yes. 17 days.
Now, were you immediately released from the service?
Yes, we got on a plane in New York. The plane got there. Didn't take very long.
When you came home, did you have any problems adjusting back to Longfield and Castleville after 6 days?
Well, after 5 years, dealing with strange people every day. If I did the thing, I knew everybody knew me. It seemed completely different. Or at night, if somebody fired a shot, you know, try to kill a family of skunk or something, I just jumped up and did that.
Did you have other nightmares like that about this? any about the war?
No,
It didn't bother you? Because you were never wounded then?
No.
Okay, boy, I'm going to change the subject completely. Here we go from World War II again. I meant to ask you, although when we were talking about your family being involved in the church, I know that they've always been very active in St. Louis Day also.
Yes.
Okay, what involvement were your mother and father in St. Louis Day?
Well, my mother never was involved too much. She had all those kids and seemed like one was born almost every year. And but dad was he didn't make a sausage without me. That was for him everything was kind of hard way. There was no refrigerator that time. He had to take an old wagon, put all the fiber was on, get it about 4 feet high in his back, go cut some small trees to make these sticks to hang the saws on.
Yeah.
And that was hung in the wagon. Then they had to get about 1,500 or 15 blocks of ice and wait about 100 pounds, put it in that wagon, and we covered that up with sheets. That's where the 100 saws were.
Oh, that's how they got the sheets.
Right. So about 6 o'clock the next morning, somebody come along, keep away with one of the truck and tie that wagon on that truck and pull it up there, and that's where they put the saws.
Okay,
there's no cooling up there.
Let's back up a little bit. When did they make this saw?
People go and do it about Friday evening. All they leave home about 2 or 3 o'clock, do the farm and kill them all and calves and some cows or calves.
Well, did the church buy these or did these people donate them?
They mostly were both. Sometimes one or two they made them, but then they kill them on the farm. And they bring it in, some had already some had a few tickets. They brought it out, they had hung those hairs and trees out there.
At your house? At your home place?
Yes.
Now,
they would take a few trees.
What are we talking about? What year is it about? How old are you at this time?
I was about 18 then.
You're talking about the 20s,
huh? Yes, and they make a sausage in that room we slept in.
Oh.
We had to get up about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Everything had to go out. I told this man, Dad come over there and we didn't want to get up. He just turned it away. It was time to get up. We got up then about 5 o'clock. People from all around came in there and they made their show.
And it was in the morning, Saturday morning, 5 o'clock.
Yes, and by 1 or 2 o'clock, the story was made and was already on the ice. People passed.
But didn't they smoke it first?
They smoked it in that wagon, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
How'd they smoke it with that ice?
They did it somehow. They had enough space. I don't think they smoked it too long.
Mm-hmm. But then they kept the tree with the ice and then hauled it up to the Warner's garden?
Yes.
Is that where it was held?
Yes. Well,
do you remember it any other place?
Well, they had a packager's place there, where the white is living. They had it there 7 years. I know the good place up there. And 1 or 2 years, they had it at church there also.
On the church ground?
Yeah, for the exercise.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I heard that.
That's before it started in the street.
Yeah.
And before my time, they had it down at the Obedious place.
Yeah, you heard a lot of people talk about that. You know, they must have had it at Beezer's place in the 1900s.
Probably so.
And then also, how about the Bryan Hall here?
That I don't know, but that could have been
possible.
There
were people that are a little older than
me. Probably so.
But it wasn't large either at that
time. It couldn't have been. Just loads of people.
And the family.
The Hall. Community.
But your father then was always involved in the sausage?
Most of the time, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had his friends, old buddies, and every year some young ones started helping us. Got older and faster than young ones started coming.
Well, you all made profits quite a bit from home for yourself,
too. Yes, Dad, mother always had halls. Sometimes he'd fill a hall and he would stay up with it.
Mm-hmm. How many halls about a year did you see?
Probably 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm. So that size family would take quite a bit of it. Then Tommy, your brother, took over the profits made into St. Louis based on your dad, huh?
Yes.
And then Ralph now is taking it.
Yeah, and then Katie, he was way after. He was with Dad, and they worked together for quite a few years. Even when he was in high school, I think he didn't say that Michelle was here. Yes. That's where he lived. That's what he called his young daughter after Michelle.
So that, and his son's a squad after still right. Making the profit. You do something else now, too. I know with your background in raising the horses for Moy and going to renting out horses for horse that run. You started doing something last year. You want to tell us about that?
Yes, we started with St. Louis giving Dylan wagon rides. We got 2 horses. Here's a wagon. I fixed myself. Not the run to the wheels or anything, but the box time, but we load about 15 people on there. Just pull the wagon. And, we think the Honda 2 times for the church celebration, the wine once. And we're going to the halls next week.
Oh, and, so you drive to the
celebration? Yes. We just donate to the church and some of the places they collect. We don't need that.
Well, did you build a little seat in that wagon or what?
Yes, my travels all over Europe, Canada, and everywhere, I saw where they did ride, but they could only put 3 people, 4 with the driver on those third. I was thinking, how in the world could you take more people? And we widened one of those old time wagons and put a fence lengthwise on each side of it, inside the wagon, and make room for that many people.
And you just need 2 horses then, too?
Yes. Last year, that's when the Lord stayed, we had 570 people out the way.
Oh. Mostly children?
Children and old people. Mm-hmm. We had, Mrs. Youngman, she's 101 now, I believe. She rode right up to the park.
Oh, she did?
Right. Uh-huh. It was, worked real good. People were standing in line. She told this old lady on the way. And I heard something say, well, she can ride too. And, there were a lot of old people out the way. She said, they didn't ride it. So, George, we just want to remember the old lady when they had to ride the way.
Yeah. Before you had this wagon, did you use a little gig or something, or what did they call it?
Well, we had a gig with the paint horses with, but that was...
Did you use the trail rides with that?
Yes, we had some of the Matthews rides there.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few people.
Well, is your gig from your family and always there?
No. It was a huge daddy's old gig, where the 2 boys and the sisters came to school with. And I went over to his daddy one time, and I saw that just a steel part there, and I asked Mr. Daddy if he'd want to sell it. He said, load it on your pickup, I'm going to give it to you, I'm going to get it all paid. I took it home, and I found the Model T wheels. It was made originally by Mr. Grandfield, the blacksmith. It was really built well. I found some new, huge wheels, bought some tires. It is where that gets me from.
That has old Model T tires.
Right.
I didn't know that. Okay, so are you retired now, Joe?
Yes.
Okay. We talked about your early life. when you came back from the service of being a farmer. But you haven't only been a farmer. What was your other profession that you
had? Well, I sold out the dairy to Rio Vista. I went to work for a factory at Medina Bay as a bowler, security guard. In the meantime, my constable Henry Holler died. And some of my friends then asked me if I could accept appointment to the next election.
As constable, you were speaking.
I said, I don't think so. And I told him I studied about it. I studied about 3 years. Not three days, I mean. So finally, let Honda know I'll accept it to the next election and let somebody else have it. Well, I took it. Nobody wanted the next election, so I had it for 20 years.
For 20 years? Well, did you enjoy,
I enjoyed working with Gillen. I liked them all.
You had a couple of close calls, didn't you?
Yes, I was shot twice, once in the face and one in my hip. But I guess I wasn't supposed to die, really.
Were you in the hospital at the time, too, sir?
Yes, I was taken to the Catholic hospital. And Dr. Page came down, beat me right away. He asked me at the first day where I want to go. I said, will you treat me here? And she said, well, that's up to you. I said, I'll make my decision. I'd rather be here because he doesn't see the
anybody. Now, which wound was it? The face?
Face, yes.
And did he break any bones?
It went in. Had my jaw and keep my back here, just under the skin, just like my head. It was a steel bullet. It didn't look good like I would be here.
And who was that to stop you?
Well, I don't know. Well,
it's a part of the public record. So.
Well, I don't know. Oh. He was 6 years old.
But how long did it take you to recuperate from that?
My jaw was wired up with wire. A big teeth. Couldn't move my teeth. Doctor don't think he did that. But Dr. Bay treated me every day. And he was a wonderful doctor. And lots of doctors in San Antonio had a day to other treatment. They looked at my face and said, who sees you? To Dr. Page. But nobody ever could have done better.
Okay, after that happened to you that first time, were you a little apprehensive about continuing your job?
It didn't bother me too much.
So how many years later was it that you got the second?
About 3 years later.
And that was a lot of
it? This was
In both times, you were shot as you were trying to arrest the suspect.
Yes. I saw Papa was already arrested. I was already taken to Honda at the death of the thief. As he came up three times, Jeff will hire a police in a few days to I struggled for this reason.
In the car?
She stopped going up Old Highway, three times. Angela got out. In the meantime, he took the patient's picture, got him below a corridor, but he had a pocket weapon. That stopped the bullet.
And who was that policeman? Rasmussen?
Rasmussen. I stepped out of the car, the other side of the door. And I was thinking, that Rathbun shot the ball. I walked up there, and as I walked up there, got close to him, got me in the face. I had my strength, and he was ready to shoot again. was FBI training, which told us how to do the making, how to graph that gun. And either I had to grab it or
shoot again.
I grabbed it and threw it away about 30 feet.